This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Oh, man.
Right?
Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, along with Mary Golay, Richard Tay, White Wade, Kelly Polker's hanging around somewhere. Oh, my goodness. If you didn't listen to, if you're on the podcast version here, and you did not yet take a listen to the Lucci Quads, wow.
What a story.
What a story. Oh, my God.
And they were so sweet.
They were so sweet. And I got to tell you, like, this is one of those defining moments for them, right? Because they're just starting to do media. Like, they've just done a little bit. That story of the Lucci Quads and what they are doing, there's no way on God's green earth that story doesn't hit somewhere in a really, really big way.
And they just scratched the surface with their story.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of glossed over about 6 years.
Oh, God.
I was like,
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
so, Rich, you were saying, I mean, you were pretty quiet during that one, man,
because
I could see the rage was like just building, and you were saying in between the shows here, man, that you were thinking like, if I could just find their father and just take his arm and beat him with it, like, you know, I get it.
I can't understand that. You know, I'm sitting here trying to spend every single second I can with Olivia. Just you get blessed with these children, and then it's kind of the after. Like, okay, so I was saying to Mary, all right, so you had more kids than you thought. Maybe you thought you're going to have one more boy, whatever, maybe thinking he was going for a basketball team or something. You
know? With seven,
and,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And he ends up getting – but to hunt him down later and keep giving him a hard time and all that, like, I just
– yeah.
It's a whole nother level of sick.
He's sick, man.
Right?
Yeah, and you were saying, you know, you've got your – how old is she now? 3.5?
3.5, yeah.
Were you here for the first segment where Bianca was talking about – her mom coming home and seeing her in basically a pool of blood as a baby?
Yeah.
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 I mean, as a baby.
I was listening. I was going to be like 1 minute late. I was listening in the car, though, and then I was like, do I even want to go in? Because it was just like the foster
right
home
with Ashley.
With
yeah.
Ashley we had.
Yeah.
It's the two shows I didn't say a damn word because I just wanted, I felt like I was going to either burst in tears or start screaming at somebody.
Yeah. Ugh, I hear you. Well, it's a story that is as painful as it is, it's equally inspiring.
Yeah.
If they do it
right, it's going to be one of those, I don't know, like, not a documentary, but one of those big stories. Like, I keep flashing on the two girls.
I mean, you think
two
about
girls back in Cleveland who were, like, stuck in a house.
Oh, God.
For years and years.
Right,
and years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to see these girls on the cover of People magazine.
Right?
That'll happen.
Standing strong.
They have great personalities. Like, that was the only thing that kept me from, like, totally breaking down while I was sitting here. I was like, look it, they're gonna do it. Thank goodness they had each other, right? Like,
yes.
That's probably the big...
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because when you think about society, and the thing that I hate about the news in general is the expression goes, if it bleeds, it leads. Right? I mean, that's the whole news kind of mentality. And it's just so damn sad that we are in this society where everything is so sensationalized. And when you think about four girls, four beautiful, intelligent, I mean, the way that these girls have persevered, And what they will be able to do moving forward.
Exactly.
Is nothing short of just miraculous.
Well, and the opportunities that will come to them, because they are all for just, you know, beauties. They're not tatted up. They don't have rage around them. They're just like...
Think about the directions that you... I mean...
Right?
We talked about those with Adam Markell, right? We talked about the two brothers, the twins, who had these really, like, fucked up parents. I mean, just like... Just bad, like, abused, and one of them turned out and was just like, you know, just the belle of the ball. I mean, like, this guy was successful. He was, you know, just this amazing man, and this other one was just a criminal, right? I mean, just like this awful life and just a horrible human being. And when the question was asked about, you know, why did you turn out that way? Or why do you think you turned out this way? Both of them answered it the exact same way, which is how else could I be with that as my, you know, right. as my example.
Hey, and then you get 4 for 4. Awesome.
So that's what
kiss.
I was saying. So it's like you Jeez. Think about the sensationalism around just our obsession with the wrong things in this culture. I mean, because think about the Kardashians. And when I see those four girls, I think about how would you like to be watching a show about these four girls and the amazing things
instead
that they
of the
are up to.
Knucklehead Kardashians?
Instead of the knucklehead Kardashians, right?
They make me sick.
Well, you know, I get it, right? I totally get it in terms of you've got your money and there's this whole thing about like we as a society just like we put money on a pedestal. You know, and we're just like, okay, that's the aspiration. That's what we aspire to. We aspire to have that life, that house, you know, be able to get this, that, and the other. When in fact, what Paris said when I asked her about name something that someone does for you or has done for you that really just meant the world to you and really impacted your life.
Oh, the come to the game or whatever.
Yeah.
She had nothing to say about anything material. Mm-hmm. It was simply come to the game, cheer me on, show me that you love me. Mm-hmm. You know, don't buy me things and say, here's my love. Although if you buy us Lay's sour cream and onion potato chips, you will have our hearts forever. But,
we've
you
been
know,
doing this for a while, though. I mean, the Kardashians are basically like Robin Leach, but with girls.
Right.
I mean, we've been still propping up the rich and watching what the rich do and doing all that stuff. Now it's just with TNA or whatever.
You know, it's funny. I watched an interview with Tupac Shakur from 1992, where he was talking about a little bit about Trump, but mostly about wealth and mostly about how we have just such ridiculous discrepancies between the haves and the have-nots. This was 1992. So this is 24 years ago, which just saying that in and of itself is a trip to say that that was 24 years ago with that interview. But what he was saying was like, basically, it's not right. You know, you've got somebody with $35 million in the bank, and then you've got somebody on the street who can't eat because they've got nothing to their name. You know, it's like you've got this house, you've got two kids, and your house has 52 rooms. It's
right.
Like, why on earth when you can't, you've got rooms you don't even use, and you've got this kid on the street who doesn't have a single room at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about, Mary, just before we got started here, that you are doing something where you're going to be feeding the homeless teens.
Well, okay, so I had a guest on a show here at the studio, and she started an organization 25 years called Stand Up for Kids. Now it's nationwide.
Mm.
So we have one, it's a teen drop-in center. So the kids who are homeless can only go to this center between 5 p.m. and 8:30, and they have to be back out on the street by 8:30 so they can blend back into the community, and then they sleep there. But at this center, they can take a shower, they can do their laundry, they get clothing, they get help with trying to get back into school.
They can't stay there.
They cannot stay there. Because if there's a whole big, this organization wants to stay out of the government.
Mm-hmm.
So if they stay there, they have to register them as runaways, and then they get thrown into the system.
And then they end up with some jackass that just brings
them
in for the check.
Exactly. So this gal's created this center. Only volunteers help.
Mm-hmm.
So a year ago, I got involved with them and got the moms and the kids from my daughter's school involved. And last spring, after the kids graduate, well, summer, we grabbed 60 backpacks from decent backpacks, gently used,
mm-hmm.
because the backpacks are their homes. It's their bedding, their homework, their bathroom. Anything that they need is in their backpack. Mm. And they keep getting stolen or left and they never find them again.
Ugh.
So we always have to replenish the backpacks, the toiletries, the clothing. So my moms, we take things to them like for Christmas, Valentine's, St. Patrick's, Easter. For Christmas, we made 36 stockings
wow.
and put stuff in them and dropped them off.
Mm.
And we do that for the holidays for them and warm meals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was mentioning to you in two weekends or next weekend, camp land in Mission Beach or Mission Valley opens up and we're providing sack lunches for them to go to Belmont Park on Saturday. And we're providing hot lunch for 25 kids on Sunday morning. So we can interact with them and taking my daughters so they can experience, you know what, girls?
Yeah, you're pretty damn lucky.
Right.
Right.
And these children are safer on the street than they are in their own families' homes.
Well, I mean, geez, you talk about, and look at the, I mean, this guy's still threatening them.
Which is insane. I want to find this.
I know. That's what Rich was saying. I know. Like, Rich, you just see the color changing in his face whenever it's like, oh, I totally get it. Ugh. But
it's out there, guys.
It's all we can do, obviously, is talk about this and do our own thing. The hope is that some of these conversations spur on a larger movement, right? I mean, that's the hope. As here on Reinvention Radio, right? On Reinvention Radio, we talk about what we could reinvent, and reinventing X, Y, or Z. Clearly, that whole foster care system, because now we've talked about it twice, needs some serious reinventing. And when you talk about, you know, bringing your kids and doing the whole thing with the homeless, which is amazing, and that's so cool you're doing it with the Stand Up for Kids, you're helping them to create a better life. And it's just, I mean, it's truly amazing.
Well, and it is because that the biggest thing they get is that somebody cares about them.
Yeah. And so that's
it.
And it's perfect here that we're talking about creating an amazing life because we're going to have Aaron Kennard on, who is going to be talking about creating a truly amazing life right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Dude. Steve Ulcher.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. You actually said you were going to start it.
Yeah,
I believed
you. I believed you.
I guess I'm the gullible in the one.
Yes.
I'm going to start the segment of Reinvention Radio. I said, okay, that's fine. And then you looked at me like, what are you doing? And I looked at you like, I guess I need to be talking on the mic here. All right, so here's what we're doing. We are talking to Aaron Kennard here of Truly Amazing Life. And I think we are actually talking to Aaron Kennard here of A Truly Amazing Life. So let's bring Aaron back on. And we say back because we had a little technical difficulties, but we worked through it, and I think we're good now. Aaron, you're still there, correct?
Can you guys hear me this time?
Okay,
yay.
That's perfect. Okay, sweet.
There he is.
All right, so because we now have 36 seconds left.
Oh, we're talking it live.
Yeah, we're all good. All right, so we have 36 seconds now left in your segment here. And so tell everybody about A Truly Amazing Life and what it is that you're doing exactly.
Did you say 36 seconds?
I'm just playing. We got a little more than 36 seconds. We're all good.
Okay. Well, where do you want me to start? What do you want me to talk? You just want me to tell people how to live a truly amazing life or what?
I want people need to know who you are, what you do, because people have no clue right now. We have no context to work from.
We just know you're not Aaron.
No, yeah, exactly. Not Aaron. We know
that. I'll give you the briefest intro possible that maybe get you up to speed. I'm a dad of four kids. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm about 36 years old. So that gives you a picture of who I am. I like to ski and bike and stuff. And but basically, 4 years ago, I had this epiphany, or I was kind of not living a truly amazing life. I was kind of going through the motions in work working in my real estate business and really kind of drudgery. I had this epiphany one night where, one time when I had this sore throat that just wouldn't go away for about a month. And about 3 weeks into it, I was laying in bed one night just thinking to myself, what is the advantage to this pain? And because I had been reading books by Napoleon Hill, and he's very adamant that every adversity comes with an equal or opposite advantage, or the seed of which. And so I was just asking myself at that time, and in that moment at night, I was dreading going to sleep, and I had this thought just kind of strike me like, hey, just say thank you. When it hurts, when you swallow and it hurts, say thank you for five things. And so I did that, and I just said thank you for my wife and my children. I was laying there feeling like crap, not wanting to go to sleep at all, and feeling like it was going to be a super long night. As soon as I started saying thank you, I started feeling better. And then I thought, okay, I swallowed again, and there's this searing pain in my throat. And I said, okay, I'll say thank you for five more things. I did, and I started feeling pretty good, actually. And then this epiphany hit me. That is kind of like it's knowledge they already knew, but it now somehow experientially this hit me so deeply that I'm in control of my thoughts, and that this pain I could turn this to a reminder to direct my thoughts to gratitude, and therefore direct my life and my state to joy. And all of a sudden, I was overcome with this euphoric, joyful feeling, just grinning ear to ear. I slept peacefully that night. I woke up the next day on just cloud nine. I looked in the mirror. I swallowed. The pain was still searing, and I was just grinning. I was so happy, and I was saying thank you for the sore throat, for what it taught me. And basically, from that day on, it was 2011. It was like December 11th, 2011. Like, life became truly amazing for me. It's like I had found this secret key that nothing, no pain, nothing could get in my way and stop me from, that I had the ability to choose to be happy and to choose to change my thoughts and change my state. And it was like, this is the stuff that's taught by every guru out there. But for whatever reason, it didn't really kind of connect and hit home for me really solidly till that day. And it basically changed everything and led me onto this course of feeling like sharing that message, and it's led me to writing numerous books, and I'm now writing a 12-book series on the 12 pillars of a truly amazing life, and there's these 12 habits that are these fundamental habits that I found. After that time, I kind of discovered that every day I felt amazing, and I never had bad days anymore, and it boiled down to really these 12 pillars that I now teach as these principles, these fundamental habits, essentially. Mm-hmm. So there's the big picture. What questions do you have for me? Where do you want to go from here?
Well, first and foremost, did the sore throat ever go away? I mean, like, I think that's the most important question.
The sore throat went away like a week later. I went in and found out that it was this thing, weird thing called tonsil stones. After like the third doctor, they finally found what it was. It was like these little buildup of calcium on the back of my tonsils, and they pulled it out of there, and my sore throat went away.
Wow.
Like the next day. But it was life changing. And then I had told myself at that time that, you know what, no amount of pain can tell me that I'm going to declare this day as a bad day, because I get to choose if it's a good day or a bad day. I get to choose the way I classify the day. So there is no such thing as the bad day unless I choose it. Mm-hmm. And I basically set myself up for probably the biggest, craziest test of my life, possibly by believing that and starting to teach that, which I can tell you about kind of the more crazy story that happened about 6 months later, if you want to hear, that led to my first book that's now been read 300,000 or 400,000 times.
Nice.
So that's the next step in the journey. But I can.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because the question that I have, and I think there are probably others like me out there who have this question. And if you've listened to the show before, you know I'm kind of a cynic. Let's just say a depressive in nature. Like, you know, I mean, it's not that I don't think that the sun can't shine out of somebody's ass all day long, every day. I mean, I think it's possible, but I also think that there are the realities of life, and like, some things just suck, you know? I mean, like, like what I'm going through right now, you know, and it's funny because every time I talk to Aaron, I got shit going on in my life. That's not good. Aaron!
We got
to figure this thing out, man.
San Diego, what could be going wrong now?
I know, right? Oh, man. All right, so, but no, seriously, this, like, there are things that happen. Like, I get it, and it makes sense where you want to say, okay, thank you for having this in my life, and I appreciate what I have, and I'm grateful, and I wake up with my gratitude journal and I wake all my, and I don't do these things. I'm just saying this is somebody else talking. But, you know, like I wake up and I'm ready and I'm just happy. But what do you say to those people who like have to deal with some real stuff? Like we just had the Lucci twins on, quadruplets. I don't know why I keep saying twins. There was four of them, but we had just had the Lucci quads on and they went through some serious hell and they will continue to go through some serious hell based on their father and all that horseshit they're having to deal with there. But you can't, or I guess you can say, hey, you have a choice now. You can choose to live in that pain or you can choose to be happy. And it's kind of hard to sell somebody on being happy when they're going through that pain.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing you can do. And it's hard to feel happy when you're going through that pain, no matter what you go through. I mean, I basically tell everybody, and the basic essence of my book is that everything is conspiring for your benefit. But that's a thing to hear when you're going through hell. Mm-hmm. And I was basically, the short version is that I completely hear what you're saying. And like, I personally don't live in this state of blissful, sunny, like huge grins all day long, every day. And I think people get that mistake when I say, look, this is a truly amazing life and that you have the ability to choose your thinking in any given moment. That doesn't mean personally for me that I'm never going to be sad and that I'm never going to feel down. I mean, there's things, life happens. There's challenges in relationships. My son's going through things that make me sad. We just a couple weeks ago, we were not relating to each other. And I felt horrible because our relationship wasn't working. And I was very saddened by that. And I needed to figure that out. And luckily we talked and I took him to dinner and we worked it out and I felt better. But it's not like I was living on this blissful high right at that moment. But that also doesn't negate the fact that I believe that life is truly amazing. And I think that that's just part of life. Like the lows and the highs, they're all part of our journey and an important part. And I wouldn't try to tell somebody, look, life is meant to be 100% happy all the time. Sadness is a bad emotion. You're never supposed to feel it. You're only supposed to feel bliss, and it's totally possible. I think that'd be the biggest lie ever. And maybe that's what you're getting at. Like when we talk about, hey, you can choose your thoughts and be happy, that doesn't mean like every second of every day. And that does. And I think sadness and pain and anger and all of those emotions that we experience are part and valid parts of life and important parts mm-hmm. that we experience. So mm-hmm. does that help maybe reframe it a little bit?
Yeah, totally. And I have to say, I'm completely jealous of the relationship you have with your 2-year-old son, because like to be able to take him out to dinner and to be able to talk to him about,
well, he's 11 year old now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I got it. I was going to say, cause I tried doing it with my 2-year-old and it's just like, it didn't work the same way for me, but he's 11. So I guess that makes a little more sense.
No, all right. So 11's a different story.
Yeah. All right. So for sure. So now wait, 300,000 or 400,000 people. First of all, you don't know. Cause like that's a pretty big difference. Like if 100,000
people. Last I checked, it was 310,000. So it's probably 320 or 315 now. It's probably not close to 400, so I probably shouldn't have said that. But I haven't checked in like 6 or 8 months.
No, but still, that's pretty amazing. So wait, they're reading. Is that one of your books? What is that number?
So it's my book. Yeah, my first book that I published. It's called The Positive Thinking Secret, and I published it on Kindle and on Audible and on paperback version. So it's on Amazon. I published it in 2013, directly after I healed from this life-threatening disease that nearly took me out in 2012.
Wow.
So I published.
You've sold 310,000 copies of the book, or is it a freebie or how?
Well,
because that's a huge number, man. Yeah,
that's impressive. It's been read. So what I did, my strategy was giving it away for free for the mm-hmm. first year and a half. And so probably 290,000 of those were like free Kindle downloads. So it's been read that many times. It's been sold probably 30,000 or 40,000, 30,000 times, like actual sales. So it's pretty solid too. But it started out mostly was the free when I was giving it away for so long, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a killer strategy. And for those who have books, if you want to find out more information about Aaron and some of the strategies that he's doing, because I think you do other things right too. Don't you do some coaching and you do some other work as well other than just writing, correct?
So yeah, I do the book writing and life coaching through that. I'm also a real estate investor as far as other businesses go, and working on developing an accountability and training app right now with another partner. So yeah, I do numerous different things.
Yeah. All right, sweet. So let's do this. We'll take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio, and we will be right back with Aaron Kennard of Truly Amazing Life right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Olscher. We're with Mary Gallet Richard Tay and Darren Kennard joining us on the phone. All right, let's bring Aaron back on here. And we were talking about Truly Amazing Life and the book. So let's talk about the 12, because I guess there are 12 secrets that you talk about to having a truly amazing life. Let's first name the 12 and then let's run through a couple of them.
Yeah, so the 12 pillars, the 12 secrets are these principles, and each principle is associated with a habit. So the 12 principles are celebrate, smile, believe, enjoy, think, create, succeed, remember, empower, give, grow, and love. Those are the core principles, and there's various habits associated with each of those principles, like meditation, writing, selfless service, affirmations. Each of those kind of are associated with one of those core principles.
Okay. So of those 12, which do you think has, because there's obviously, I mean, each of them has significant impact, but which, if you could only pick like three, like let's just say, 12 is unrealistic. Like just, that's just a lot. So if we could just like start with three, if you had to pick three and just say, hey, start with these three, which would you suggest? And then what are some of the practical things that we can do with those three?
Yeah, so the pillar of believe would be the number one thing I think to start with, and that's essentially believing that this is a truly amazing life, that everything is conspiring for your benefit, and that, I mean, I would almost just start with just that one. Like that's kind of the core fundamental shift that kind of needs to take place in order to reframe life. Like if you're looking at life from the standpoint of, man, everything is conspiring against me, and nothing seems to work out for me. And if that's the way you go through your life, you're kind of just shot. You're dead in the water from the get-go. You're never really going to, you just can't live a truly amazing life from that frame. And so that's why I believe the number one thing that I would start with. And the core habit behind that is changing your beliefs. Like, because we've been trained from the young age, and our mind has been programmed to believe certain ways, and the only way to really change that is to get in new environments or to change it forcibly through affirmations, like to actually like reprogram through repetition of new beliefs. And so that's one of the habits I teach, is to repeat the truth to yourself, to affirm your truth multiple times a day, so, throughout the day.
So what does that sound like? Yeah, and, literally, what would you say to yourself?
So I would like look in the mirror, or I would just think to myself, everything is conspiring for my benefit. Just that one statement repeated to myself multiple times during the day. And like, say if I have a whole list of affirmations. So I affirm my truth in the sense that I have maybe like multiple pages of truthful statements that I want to remember every day. And I do that once per day. So this is literally what it looks like for me. I wake up in the morning and I meditate, and then I just have a list, three or four pages of just these truths, like, hey, everything is conspiring for your benefit. You are amazing. Like, I'm excited for what the day is going to hold for me, and just kind of like, hey, I'm an amazing father. I treat my wife with respect and dignity. I treat her as the queen that she is. So I have a whole list of just things that these are the ways that I see myself and want to be. And I remind myself of those truths in the morning, mm-hmm. so that I'm programming that into my mind. But then throughout the day, I might be working on like one belief or just a couple beliefs. So like what I teach people is start with this belief, everything is conspiring for my benefit. and just start like 3 or 4 times during the day, just sit with that for a couple, like a minute or 30 seconds. You just stop what you're doing, think everything is conspiring for my benefit, and just imagine, like, you might have an experience where somebody just cuts you off, or you might have gotten just like hurt by somebody, and it's like hard to reconcile, hey, that belief, I don't believe that, like, this is a bad thing. And so it forces you throughout the day to confront that belief, and over time, if you do that every single day, you'll start to believe it more and more. And it's one of those things where it doesn't have to be true. Like, it doesn't have to be like everything is conspiring for you, like everything is conspiring against me is just as true as everything is conspiring for my benefit. It's just totally up to me, whichever one I want to believe.
All right,
there's no way to like prove.
Let me ask you this. Right? So here's my question. And, you know, again, I wholeheartedly believe that the power of positive thinking and Norman Vincent Peale and all that stuff. I mean, I get it makes sense, yeah. But isn't it a little bit narcissistic to think that everything is conspiring for my benefit? Like literally.
No, I think it's kind of the force of the universe. It's like,
but how on the earth can I think about this shit all the time? Like, how on earth can the universe, like, have an agenda for all of these billions of people? Like, I mean,
it's kind of the definition of faith, dude.
Which I have none.
All right, there we go. Our job is done, Aaron.
All right, so maybe that's my problem right there. Is I have no faith. But it's like I can't believe that, like, literally, like, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, like somebody's literally like out there making that happen. Like, this is gonna happen to this person.
That's why you got to start with belief.
Take this other view. Take this other perspective on it, Steve. Check this out. So instead of having to worry about some divine power like orchestrating everything for you, like, I think that's what most people think when they hear that. But think about it this way: if I say everything is conspiring for my benefit, what is that doing to my focus? That is making me look for how is this going to benefit me. It doesn't matter who orchestrated it, what's happening. It doesn't matter whether there's a God or whether there's no God. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. All it's doing is I'm saying, look, I don't care what happens. Like, somebody can shoot the person next to me. They can shoot, like horrible, crazy, bad things can happen to me that are completely outside of my control. And you know what? Like, that's not going to make me happy. I'm not going to love it if I had to, like, witness my family get murdered. Obviously, that's going to be, like, the most torturous thing of all time. But I'm going to choose. It's a conscious choice that says, you know what? I don't care what happens because I can't control everything that happens. So, therefore, I am not going to let those things control me. I can control them, and nothing's going to happen that I'm not going to choose to say I'm going to find the benefit in that, and I'm going to make the best of that. That's what it means to me. When I say everything is conspiring for my benefit, it's like it's just a conscious choice to say that I absolutely refuse to give the control of my life to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's happened, I will make the best of it. Yeah. What's that?
Okay, no. So I get what you're saying, Aaron, and I kind of go with it because if you look at things black and white, if a good thing happens and you're like, woohoo, and there's a bad thing that happens, you're like, boo-hoo. Stepping back, not being emotionally attached to the outcome of whatever it is, and just kind of maintain a more neutral approach to the good. You can still feel better, and taking more of a neutral approach to the bad, because there is the humanity, you know, tears and sadness and all that, but not diving down into the rabbit hole of the bad and imploding. You just, you know what I mean? Okay, there's something's going on. It may not have anything to do with me, but I got caught in the crossfire and I'm going to learn from it and move forward. I think that's kind of more the vein he's talking about.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah, exactly. And for me, there's definitely a faith aspect. Like, I do believe in God, I have this feeling that's maybe beyond that, but I talk to people that don't have that belief, or that it's just like, for me, I don't see this particular belief as needing to have a faith base to it, more like from a God standpoint. It's more of just like a decision of how I choose to direct my thoughts and how I choose to react to everything that's happening to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do this, because unfortunately we're going to have to we're going to have to wrap here at this. Just, man, this show just flies by.
I know.
It's like we need to do like a 24-hour episode of Reinvention Radio. Matter of fact, let's just do that. So next Thursday, we're going to do a 24-hour episode here of Reinvention Radio. That'll be the plan. So, all right, Aaron Kennard of trulyamazinglife.com. That is truly, T-R-U-L-Y, because I'm one of those people that would spell truly T-R-U-E or T-R-U-L. EY. So
really?
If you're like, yeah,
you
really
would do that.
You don't see like any of those like National Geographic Spelling Bee Award thingies like in my house anywhere. So trulyamazinglife.com is where you can find out more information about Aaron Kennard and all of his various books. Very cool. Appreciate you being on the program with us here, my man. All right. So for Mary Willet, Rich Ote, White Wade, Kelly Poker, I'm Steve Ulsher. We'll talk to you guys next time on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.